The title of this message is Kingdom Theology Part 2, and we will finish today. If you would turn to Luke, the 24th chapter, verses 13 through 27, I will be reading just the last two verses. And this is after he was having a discussion with the two. Then he said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and entered into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning him. This book, you must make it personal. Because this is his love story to you and to me. My kids are fighting over my Bible. My other one, not this one. They are fighting over it. Because they want to know what God says to me. And I write in my Bible what God says to me. And they want that. And that warms my heart because I know that the thing that they are looking for will not be found in there. But the thing that is being created within them must be created into each and every believer. Who knows what that is? Take a shot, Jess.
A relationship with God.
That's close. But no cigars. No, we don't smoke here. Okay. It's a desire. It's our desire. Being kingdom-minded, we must cultivate a desire for God. God says, you didn't choose me, I chose you. We didn't run after him, he ran after us. And so being kingdom-minded is understanding that his love is so earnest for us that he wants to create a desire in our lives. And that desire will only come through the circumstances of our lives. You see, in understanding what he's talking about a sacrifice, he's really saying, what are you willing to allow me to consume so that you can have more of me in you and thereby your circumstances changing? Because if he is in you, you begin to see what he has for you in you. That is the potential that is in you. Case in point. For 2.5 years, we have been planning our building project. Our building project is over. But, you know, people who didn't know us just thought it was just talk, idle talk. And we know people that just say a whole bunch of stuff and nothing ever comes through fruition in their lives, right? We know that. And sometimes when that person is constantly talking about something, and nothing ever happens, it gets frustrating and it becomes annoying. And a lot of times we just don't want to be around those people because all they are is dreamers. There's nothing manifesting in their lives. And that's okay. But for people of God, we must be purposeful in what we do. And desire must be persevered in such a way or purposeful in our lives in that we must cultivate a kingdom mindset. It is imperative that we understand not that Jesus is king, and we know that, and we're going to celebrate that. And the people who are marginally saved or marginally into the kingdom only understand that Jesus came into a manger and he was crowned king. And that's the depth of their understanding as to who Jesus is. And if you look back at your notes and you look back and you get the tapes and stuff, you can see. And I didn't think of this, but God has systematically been educating us to the point of understanding that it's about the kingdom. Because if you have the king and you're about his work, it's about the kingdom. And anything that supersedes the kingdom will be a hindrance to us. Jesus went to the cross. He died. The disciples were walking down the street, and he materializes and is walking with them, and he's listening to their conversation. And they're talking about all this stuff that was going on. They did not have their eyes, their spiritual eyes, open to the reality of what Jesus had done for them and for us. And I believe that the church today has not understood the concept that it's something greater than just Jesus. How many of us try to emulate somebody else? Basketball star or some movie star, you know, and as much as we try to dress up like them, we try to get all that bling, you know, the Mr. T starter kits and stuff that we have, you know. You know, we're trying to be like them, right? Right? We're trying to emulate them. But there's a problem. The more we try to be like them, the more we find out we can't. And the problem in the church is we're trying to be like Jesus. We're trying to do the spiritual thing. I'll bring my Bible. I'm so holy. Ooh, I'm so religious. I got my Bible. Do you read it? Oh, but I got my Bible. Do you know what he says about this and that? But I got my Bible. We don't go to the movies because that's sin. You know, you can't see stuff because my Bible says I shall have no evil thing come to my eyes because it will pollute my heart. That's what Scripture says. I'm so holy and righteous, and neither should you go do that too. The problem is that if we're reading His love story to us, I should be so busy in learning what He has for me that I don't have time to poke fingers at what's going on in your life. And the kingdom is about that. The kingdom is learning how to extend grace and mercy to everybody in the family, helping them grab a hold of everything. But how do we do this? I mean, we go out there, you know, we get our first religious experience, we go out there, and I don't know about you, but my first Christmas was awesome. I got my Bible, I got my sword. I mean, it was like a religious holiday. Jesus come in there, and we had all our paraphernalia, had all my tabs, and I'm putting them there under the Christmas tree. Oh, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Oh, this is so cool. This is so awesome. But it doesn't mean anything. Because it's a religious act. Until you cultivate desire and you begin to want to know what He says to you or to me. Cultivate that desire. But that's still not enough. Desire must come into a place of action. Eventually, you're going to have to pick up His Word. Eventually, you're going to have to see what He says to you. And eventually, you're going to have your eyes open to the circumstances of your life and realize, just like what Miss Holly said today, it's all about your decisions. Everything is about our decisions. And being kingdom-minded means we make decisions based on what God says, not on what I think is good. You don't understand, Pastor. I'm just having so much pressure at home, man. I gotta have a can of beer before I come to church. Okay. I'm not going to condemn you. You just don't understand, Pastor. I got so much going on in my life. I need to get high to escape. Well, eventually, you come down off that high, and you're going to have your reality. I mean, I did both of those. I try to get high and try to get drunk. Did you ever try to get drunk and try to get high so bad because your circumstances were so sour that you couldn't? You smoked yourself straight or you drunk yourself straight. And I've done that. And you know what? The circumstances and the problems are still there. So that tells me that with God's help and not with alcohol, not with drugs, not even with friends, bad friends, whoever they are, not another woman, not another man, is going to give me the knowledge and the wisdom that I need in order to take my ship that has been moored in the coral and begin to bring that ship out and begin to lift that anchor up and begin to start sailing in a direction that is pleasing to God. How do we do this? Well, for me, it's I get into God's Word, and Irene will tell you, there was times, man, we were still toking. And I'd be high and say, man, did you read this? I mean, my eyes are like slits. I said, the Revelation is awesome! And she goes, yeah, you know, this is cool. We didn't see how stupid it was, because it wasn't Revelation. What it was we were reading the Word, and it was coming alive to us. We were still habitually sinners doing things that were not pleasing to God. And not once did my pastor at that time condemn me. But my desire began to burn in my heart. The desire for God's word to be more than just words began to take on a different thing. My language changed because I gave the Holy Spirit permission to convict me in my language. And I still do. Anytime I'm out, I mean, I've slipped, I've messed up, but that doesn't negate His love for me. What it does is helps me to recognize I am not being kingdom-minded. I am totally reverting back to where I was, and with the pressures of everything that was going on at the time, I told Irene, I said, you know, there was two times that I, and she saw one of them, I was melting down. I was literally melting down under the weight and pressure of everything. And I thank God for my wife, because with her words of comfort and love, you know, I wasn't going to find truth in the arms of somebody else. I was not going to find what I needed. Not what I thought I needed, but what I truly needed for my heart to begin to cause the wellspring of strength to come up and say, we're going to do this. We're going to do this, God. You and me and my family, we're going to do this. You know? And the other time was close to the end. I was like, I said to her, I just don't know how much more I'm able to take of this. But God knows. God knows your circumstances. God knows exactly where you are. And God is waiting to hear from you. God wants you to lay down something that is inhibiting Him from working in your life. And what is inhibiting in your life, God says, that's not the answer. I'm the answer. Like He said to Moses on the back 40, He says, you know, I am that I am. And really what He's saying is, I'm whatever you need me to be. I am already that and much more. I was ready to have a meltdown, but I looked to God. I wasn't looking to someplace else. I got comfort from people who had greater wisdom than me and who would speak to my heart, not to my circumstances and not to what I was feeling emotionally. That has nothing to come into play. And I would dive back into the Word. I would study. You see, you have to study God's Word. In order to have a kingdom mind, you must know what the King says. And you must understand what it is that He has. He has a reason for saying, I'm holy, you be as holy as me. There's a reason for being holy. Because you see, what happens is we turn on the Christ light that's already in us. And you ever notice how bugs are attracted to white light? See, it must be me, because I look at that stuff. I'm not saying that, you know, Jesus is a bug light, but what I'm saying is, yeah, He's not the blue light special either. But what I am saying is that in order for us to cultivate this kingdom mindset, we've got to have the desire. God has already placed that desire in you and in me. The next thing to do is to study the Word. It's to read it, to put together the pieces. When I don't understand something and how it's supposed to be applied to my life, what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to seek out counsel. Where's your counsel? Am I going to find it in my kids? Heck no. Am I going to find it in the neighbor across the street? Heck no. I'm going to find it with godly men and women who will speak to me what God is saying through the Scriptures. And how many of us do not, for some reason, want to bother Miss Irene or Pastor because they are just so busy? That is to your harm that you do not do that. Satan would say, you don't need to call them. You don't need to go to their house because, after all, they're busy. How many of you have called? And whatever we were doing, we dropped, we stopped, and we rolled out of that situation. And we said, how may we serve you? What is it that I can do for you? What's going on? I had a situation last night, a cousin. We were at a 50th wedding anniversary, and a cousin there is going through some tough things. And I saw what was going on, but it was not my place to minister. But something came out of it in that this individual respects me so much that he won't even listen to his priest. And so now it's been put into my shoes to go and help him because things are not well. And I have to start digging his life and getting to the root of what's going on in his life. That's what God has said to me. You see, the office is open. The phone is on. The choice is yours. We're here to serve you guys and help you experience the kingdom in a new and living way. Experience God's grace in a way that will cause you to be compelled to allow the love of God to be received in such a way that He incorporates that vision. There is no circumstance, no situation too dire that God cannot reach into it and bring you out of it and lift you up into an area that you never even sought before. You see, you're kings and priests. You're His children. And He wants the best for His children. Why is it that His children don't want the best? Being kingdom-minded is not only having the desire, it's not only studying the Word. Being kingdom-minded means applying it every day. Making application. When God says to you that in His Word, He says, you know, I don't want you cursing. That's not in the Bible. Well, let's sit down. Let's look at it. I told you this before. I used to use the F-bomb in a noun, verb, and an adjective, all in the same sentence. And one day, through the Holy Spirit, Irene says to me, I really believe you don't really realize that you say it as often as you say it. And we're brand new in the Lord. And I said, what do you know? You're only a woman. But I turned the corner of the house and said, Holy Spirit, if that is so true, see my pride. I wouldn't. Now it's different. I mean, my pride's. I got pride, but I don't know where it's at. I mean, it's just been. I'm humbled before God all the time. But I went to him and I said, Holy Spirit, if I use that word again, convict me. And two words later, I'm being convicted. Application. Giving God permission to work into your life is utmost. We've given permission to Satan to work in our lives in our ignorance. And Satan will take advantage of you and me because we don't know what the Word really says. We're not willing to make application. And by that, the changes that God requires for us to change. But with that desire, if we can keep that fire burning and that desire to change, God will change us because He reveals Himself to us. God bless you. He reveals Himself to us in us. Not out there, in us. You see, you don't have to be like Jesus. Hear me. You don't have to be like Jesus. You have to let Jesus out of you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's already there. When you received your salvation, you received the fullness of the Godhead in you. Remember I said about potential? You have the potential to be anything that you want. It's a matter of the desire and decisions that you make based on what God says that will make it happen. That's the truth. 2.5 years of planning. People thinking that we're crazy, we're nuts. You know, have friends saying, you know, at this stage of your life, you know, you can put away a lot of money, retire in ease, a whole nine yards. But there's no retirement in the kingdom until you take your last breath. And I like how Irene said, after we come out of settlement, well, that's a lot of money for settlement, but you know what? You got to pay to live somewhere. Okay. Okay, it's enough for me. And it's true. The whole point is we're willing to pay the price because it's for God's kingdom. And if it's for God's kingdom, we know He's going to make a way for us. And because of it, those who have come and seen our house And those have come and complained that we're too far away from each other now. Because it's so expansive. We just need to fill it up with more people. That's all. And that's your job and my job to do that. So we have to cultivate the desire. We've got to study God's Word, and we have to make application of God's Word in order for the kingdom mindset to become real to us. Do I fully understand the kingdom mindset? No. I understand maybe that much of what God's trying to say. But I am making application. I am studying His Word. See, good fortune doesn't happen overnight. Good fortune doesn't happen when out of the abundance of the heart we're speaking bad things. We're cursing ourselves. Oh, I'll never get a job. I won't get the job that I think I should have. I won't have this. I won't have that. My Bible tells me all things are possible to those who are make-believe. All those who believe. That's an interesting concept. Who believes God loves you? Okay, cool. Who believes God wants to bless you more than you can ever ask or imagine? I will not be outdone by my wife. But I'm standing closer, so I'll receive first. But how many of you are willing to pay the price of releasing what you're holding on to receive what God has for you? And there lies a problem. What you believe should also come out of your heart and what you say. Listen to what comes out of your mouth and see what you have in your life. It's very important that we understand. We cannot curse one another and rant and rave and scream at one another and believe that God's going to bless us, because God doesn't bless mess. He didn't bless mankind until He cleaned up the mess, according to Genesis 1. And so, what I tell everyone when we do discipling is God has to unravel your life before He can start building your life. And the sooner you let Him unravel your life and you allow the man and woman of God to speak into your life and you begin to make application, at that very moment, blessings are coming out. Blessings are rolling. How many know the story of Elijah and the widow? Elijah was 3.5 years of drought, and God told Elijah to go to this house. And, of course, in this drought, there's nothing growing, nothing living. I mean, it's gone. And he goes to this house, and he knocks on this lady's house and says, "Give me something to eat." And she says, "Well, I don't even have enough oil and meal for my son and myself, and then we will die. But at least at your word, we will do this." And so she made him a cake. And he ate the cake, and something miraculous happened. Elijah said to her, "Do you have any pots?" And she says, "Yeah, I got some." He says, "Grab all the pots that you can. Go to your neighbors and grab all the pots from them. And God will fill those pots, and the oil shall not run out." And what did she do? Did she say, "I'm just dying. I ain't believing this"? She went and got pots. Why?
She got one big pot.
She believed. She had a desire. She heard the word of the Lord. She made application to the word of the Lord through the man of God, and the oil came. And it did not run out. What did she do with the oil? She sold the oil. Speak about entrepreneurial working. She made money. She bought food. She took care of all her debts. Do you think God would say something to you to cause you harm? God wants you to give up your very last of what material things that you have so that He can help you see into the Spirit to manifest something greater than you could ever ask or imagine. Remember last week I said we as kingdom people must be the most informed. We must be the most informed. We must be the best educated. We must be so sterling in our character, our speech, and what we do, that the kingdom of God will take the wealth of the nations and bring it into His house so that His house would be full to give out to those who do not have, so that they then can have the desire created, that they may read and study the Word of God, to make application to that Word, and they too become kingdom people. It's real important that being kingdom minded is not the easiest thing for us. It's not. You can't read the Old Testament and think that you're going to have everything. And you cannot read just the New Testament thinking that you know it all. You must be able to rightly divide the word of truth, taking both sides of it, being complete, because this is a love story to you and to me. If you don't read the scriptures in a way like I read it, when he's talking to John or he's talking to Matthew, and he's saying their names, I say my name. I make a conscious effort that when I see a person's name in there, I put my name in there. Because I believe God is speaking to me. That's how I have an ear to hear His voice. That's how I know that it's God speaking to me, not me speaking to me, or the devil speaking to me. I make conscious decisions based on God's word and godly input. Because let's face it, if I think that I'm hearing completely from God, I am deceived. I know that God speaks to other men and women, and I need to bounce things off of them because they will tell me what I need to know, not what I want to know. Church, this coming year is going to be so exciting for us and for you. You have plans that you're setting in motion, and I'll tell you right now, they're not going to come to pass. If you don't include God in your plans and you don't allow God to direct your steps, they're not coming to pass. If God is the third or fourth person on your list to talk to, guess what? You're ranting and raving, you're screaming and kicking, and your attitude that is contrary to kingdom building will only cause you to go deeper into the mushroom pit. It'll keep you in darkness. It'll keep you ignorant of what God wants. And that's what Satan wants. He's betting on it. That the church will not arise and shine. Will not allow His glory to come. And I hate to tell you, but that's not happening. The church is going to arise and shine. The church is going to allow the glory of God to come. And God is going to promote His church. Amen. The choice is yours. You can either be kingdom-minded or simple-minded. Really, that's the truth. Because anything other than being kingdom-minded is being simple-minded. Being kingdom-minded is seeking wisdom, godly wisdom for your life, and being obedient to what God is directing to do. Look at your lives. And I examine mine this time of the year. Look at your lives. Is it going where you want it to go, or is it that you're just hoping that it'll go there? Are you in the train station hoping that somebody will give you a ticket, or do you have a ticket that's from Jesus Christ Himself that has eternity picked on it, and all you have to do is insert it in the slot and let Him take you? Or are you hearing what God's saying to you and you don't want what He has for you because you think you know better than God? And God will allow you to have it. He's even big enough for you to blame Him. But understand this, kingdom people have the end in mind. What's the end? The Bema Seat of Christ. Everything that we say and do and how we conduct ourselves attitudinally and behavioral wise will all be brought before the King, because we represent Him. And as servants, I wouldn't even say we're faithful servants. I wouldn't say we're disobedient because we're trying to learn the will of God. But I would say as servants, we need to really consider wholeheartedly who we're representing. We are representing the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. A King who wants us so bad that He died for us. A King who came, who was invisible and manifested Himself in bodily form. A King who will come back for those who are still left on this earth, not as little baby Jesus in the manger, but as that King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, to judge the nations, of which ten thousands of ten thousands of ten thousands of His saints will be with Him, and we will judge the nations with Him. And then we will judge angels. That's who you are. It's about time we start acting. And the way we act is getting our minds set right and start allowing Christ to shine through us. Amen? Amen. Father, I just thank You for Your Word. I thank You, God, that You see us for who we are and You know our frame, Lord. And God, I thank You for Your faithfulness and Your long-suffering with Your people. I thank You, God, that You're ever patient with me. As bullheaded and stubborn as I can be, God, I pray that as Your people look to me, God, that they would see You. They wouldn't see me. And that as I look to them, God, I would see them even being greater than me. I pray that all the traits that they admire in me, that they would admire in You, Lord. And that they would take on and allow the person of Jesus Christ to come forth from their lives. Sometimes we don't like what You have to say to us, God, but that doesn't change the truth. Sometimes we don't like the circumstances in our lives that we've created, and we blame You for it. And sometimes, God, we cry out for help, but we don't go to the places we know we should. We go to those where we shouldn't. God, forgive us. Forgive us for our selfishness and self-centeredness. Forgive us of our immaturity and childish behaviors. Forgive us, God, and help us to grow up. Help me, God, to be more mature in areas that You're working in. Help me to allow You to work in my life. Help me to encourage Your people to have the desire to study Your Word and make application, because it only gets easier, not harder. God, I ask that You bless Your people as they put on the altar the junk that You want from them, God, that would literally be consumed. I pray, God, that they would receive a hundredfold blessing, that You would take them places and use them in ways that they would not believe, God, that an awesome God that You are could use them in such awesome ways. And Father, as we enter into this festive season, Lord, to celebrate Your Son's birth, Let us be mindful that as we celebrate His birth day, that He's a man, not a child. That He's our King and not just our buddy. He is due all honor and respect for His total commitment and sacrifice. And I ask that we have no less than the same. So, Father, as we go on this day, help us to become kingdom people, driving back the darkness and exuding the light of Jesus Christ to all those who would need to believe. Fill our mouths, God, with Your words of goodness, compassion, and hope. Fill our hearts with joy, love, and faithfulness. And cause our lives to be righteous and holy. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen.